This morning I came with a word in my heart that simply says, carry the sword. Carry the sword. There's a place in your Bible found in Luke chapter 22, down around verse 31. Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 31, when you find that, out of holiness and reverence and honor to the Lord Jesus, we'll stand for this part of the reading of the Word of God. It's found again in Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 31, reading down through verse 38. This morning, the Spirit of the Lord is ministering a message titled, Carry the Sword. Verse 31 says, And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day, before thou shalt three times deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, When I sent you without purse and scrip, and shoes, lacked you anything? They said, nothing. Then he said unto them, But now he that hath a money bag, a purse, let him take it. Likewise, he that hath a knapsack, a scrip, he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. They said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. He said unto them, It is enough. Father, I pray this morning that we would let the sword of your word say it to us right. Father, that we would understand this advice that the Lord is giving to the 11 disciples. Father, how Jesus would often give them a natural reference with a spiritual message, and they would misinterpret and not understand what the Lord Jesus was saying. God, let us be alive in our hearts. Let us be ready to listen and take in this word this morning about carrying the sword. We give you our praise this morning. Church, I want you to just give him another hand clap of praise as you sit down this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you. He's worthy. He's worthy. He gives good advice. His presence is worthy. His word is true. His righteousness is forever. His faithfulness is according to the Bible for every generation. There will not be a generation that rises up on this earth that does not know the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And he's going to split the eastern sky one day, and heaven is going to be our home. Hallelujah. He's worthy of our praise this morning. You may be seated. Carry the sword. Sounds strange. A Savior has 11 disciples. See, he sent them out before he referenced it in the Word. He said, Now when I send you out, disciples, you don't need to take your money bags. You don't need to take a knapsack or anything to add extra provisions. While you're out there this time, you're going to learn to trust me, lean on me. And see, when the message went out, Jesus was sending the disciples out, and he gave them a great message. He was telling them to go out and take a pulse. Go to these cities. Those that receive you, go on in. Those that reject the message you carry, don't spend any more time with them. You can even go to the end of the city, shake the dust off your shoes, and move on. But Jesus was going out amongst the people And he sent his disciples out and he said, you don't need anything. I'm sending you out fully being able to provide for you. They didn't understand what Jesus was telling them, but they learned how to obey him. And they went out and they began to witness the gospel message of Jesus as he told them. And the people were receiving the message. Multitudes. How many of you know that through the Bible, when you find Jesus anywhere, there's multitudes? When the message of the Lord is going out in the Bible, there's multitudes. It wasn't the religious leaders that were being convicted. It wasn't the religious leaders that were being changed. But the message of hope that got to the people was changing hearts, lives. But there's some time that went by in this place. Jesus was telling them, Peter, things are changing on the scene. See, Jesus knew he was about to go to the cross. It's easy to depend on Jesus when you got him with you 24/7. When the disciples had no food, Jesus said, just go collect what you got, I'll handle it. When they couldn't cast out a demon, they brought to Jesus and he said, I'll handle it. When they didn't quite understand what he said and he went on and talked to them further, he said, just let me explain it to you. They had him with them. He was the sword for the disciples. His words changed things. Ephesians chapter 6 will tell you that it is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hebrews 4 will tell you the sword of the Word of God is quick. It's quick. It's powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Do you know what the Scripture did? It did a comparison. He said, I put the sword of God's word up to any man-made weapon of any kind. Whether it be a two-edged sword, anything. The word of God's always going to be quicker. The word of God is always going to be more powerful. The word of God is always going to be sharper. It does something that nothing else can do. The word of God is the divider between soul and spirit. The Bible said it will break down and go past the bone and the marrow. It will judge the intents and the purpose inside the heart. Our swords that the disciples were referring to, Jesus said, now listen, the spiritual realm is changing. The conditions that you're about to face are going to turn on you. Peter said, I'm ready. I'm going to go to prison if I have to. I'll die if I have to. And Jesus tried setting him down and said, Peter, you got to get your sword ready. You got to understand the message of carrying the sword. Peter was one anxious to use a physical sword. He did so. Just a few more scriptures over when the soldiers came and they came with their swords and they came with a group to arrest Jesus. And Peter, one of the disciples, said, Jesus, shall we use the sword? One of them asked, but Peter didn't wait. Peter said, I'm drawing and I'm doing. And there's something to be said about the sword of God's word. We need to go to God's word before we draw anything out of ourselves and say, I'll handle this situation. Peter said, I'm ready. Bring on. I got a sword by my side and I know what I'm going to do with it. And he reacted without even asking Jesus. He said, I'll just, and there goes an ear. Jesus said, now Peter, it's not going to happen this way. Jesus healed the man's ear, picked it up, put it back on the head of the soldier. Now, I'm telling you, Jesus is telling a message about carry the right sword. The disciples were not going to get it. When the disciples said to Jesus, after he said, now, Those of you that don't have a sword, sell your garments and go get one. And they looked down among the group and they said, here's two. Two swords with 11 disciples and an army that's getting ready to come and take Jesus captive is not enough to fight. I mean, doesn't everybody need a sword if Jesus is going to say fight? But Jesus told them, put the sword away. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. But why did he talk about this? He was bringing to light that, listen, there's something changing. I'm going to have to go face Calvary. I'm going to have to go face this thing that has to finish, that I'm called to go all the way and do. And see, what was happening was the religious leaders were gaining momentum. How many know that you can look out into society and you can see? Now, I'm not giving the devil no credit this morning, but he's gaining some momentum. And the word of God is being left behind. People are getting afraid to carry this word in public. People are getting ashamed of the word of God where Jesus said, get ready to carry your sword. See, I imagined they were thinking, he's giving me permission to fight. He was, but he was talking about spiritual things. Because he just told Peter, he said, Peter, listen, you're going to end up denying me three times. That's a spiritual problem. People end up denying their faith. They deny the things of God over and over and over again. And Jesus is talking to Peter and he says, listen, you're going to deny me, Peter. You're going to deny the sword that I've been to you. You're not going to use me. You're not going to remember my teachings. You're not going to say the things and do the things that I've asked of you to do. You're going to resort back to the natural things. God said, listen, think of the great news that came upon the people when Jesus was born. Think about the message that began to travel through John the Baptist, and here comes the disciples telling people, and all the miracles and the ministry of 3 years of Jesus is being spread. It doesn't take very much for sick people to go to somebody that can heal them. It doesn't take very much for demon-possessed people that want to be in their right mind to come and find deliverance in a Savior. They received those messages. The people that Jesus healed, the people that Jesus touched, the multitudes that he fed, they were telling the stories over and over about God. But something broke out. This spirit of the enemy got loose. Persecution was on the rise. The heated courtrooms were getting more conversation about Jesus. The plots were thickening. And Jesus knew ahead of time that there's going to be a time when reversal happens. And it's going to seem like the world is winning. It's going to seem like the enemy is winning. It's going to seem like the religious false leaders are going to win. There's something happening in the spiritual realm these days. And it seems as though there's a reversal where it once used to be glory to the name of Jesus. Now there's another message going out there saying glory to Allah. And other religions are beginning to rise. And Jesus is saying, beware. You'll need a sword in these days. Beware and know what the sword is. The disciples did not get it. They did not know what the sword was. They did not understand Ephesians 6 that said the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. They did not understand Hebrews 4. They did not understand Revelations 1:16, where the Word of the Lord is a sword coming out of His mouth. God has never been and never will be found without a sword. It It was the swords in the angels' hands there in the garden, turning every which way, but they've always got a sword. It was a sword that was drawn to stop Saul on his way that his donkey had to see before he did. God's putting swords back in the hands of his children. I want to take you through some places in Scripture and tell us about the importance of carrying the sword. Church, there's something changing in the spiritual realm, and Jesus is about to come, and you got to understand how we're going to fight these days and give God the glory. 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture about David. But there's some things that God began to draw out into my life that was different than what I've ever preached before in this stuff. David was a shepherd boy. King Saul had found that he could play instruments and he could calm the evil spirit. And so on occasions he was in the king's courts. But then the scripture goes on and says, but he would also go home. And he had a responsibility there to feed his father's sheep. David was just being obedient. Where he was told to go, he went. What he was asked to do, he did it. There came a day when the children of Israel were down on one side of a mountain, and the Philistines were on the other side of the mountain. And the Bible says there was a valley between them. And as I began to reread and study the Word of God, I found out that this situation was going on 40 days before David shows up. See, what was happening was a shifting of a spiritual realm. The children of Israel represent God. The children of Israel represents that all the soldiers had swords. They all had a sword. The children of Israel represents the miracles and the power and the glory of God. The Philistines represent the evilness in the world and the enemy spirit that's loose. But you see in this battle that all of a sudden, even though they're both on mountains, instead of God having victory in his children, it was the enemy's voice that was carrying the loudest and put fear in the children of Israel. What is happening today? Whose voice is the loudest when it comes to the things of the world? Where is the power of the Israelite children of God grafted in to the tree of life that says, I'll stand with my sword in my hand and let the enemy know that I trust my Savior Jesus? Amen. You understand that there's some spiritual things changing today. Now, David's father, Jesse, two ways the armies would get their food and supplies when they were in battle. Number one, if they defeated an enemy, they got the enemy's goods to eat, whatever it was. But if they're not winning a fight, then they had to have somebody bring provision. They had to have some member of the families of the armies to bring some food and some things. I've read over this and I've skipped it many times, but now, because the Lord put a message in my spirit about carry your sword, carry the sword, he brought me back to David. Now, David from his father said, David, I want to send you to your brothers. I'm going to send you with some items. Listen to these items. David was sent with grain. But it wasn't just a little bit of grain. I want you to get in your mind this morning, 5 gallons. Of grain. That's how much grain David took. 5 gallons of grain. David's a young lad, a teenager. Who wants to hold up 5 gallons of milk this morning? And how far would you carry it? He's got to carry the grain. He's got to carry 10 loaves of bread. Now, when you think about bread, it isn't just throw it together and get it there all smashed up in any way you want to. He's got to be careful. Now he's got weight. He's got concern. He's got the heaviness of the grain to get to his brothers. He's got the bread that needs to be cared for gently. And then his father said, oh, something I want you to give to the generals. I want you to take 10 rolls of cheese. And I can just imagine these rolls, I don't know how big they were. But now he's got to make sure they don't break loose and roll down a mountainside somewhere, because he's going to have to go chase them. Because his dad said, deliver these goods. That's what he's doing. I want you to get that in your spirit this morning, because David is going to teach us this morning to always carry your sword. His journey was about giving supplies to the children of Israel. He was being instructed of his father. He was being obedient, and he went. Now, I don't know about you, but when you and I get in a hurry and all these things, I've done it many times, especially after service. I'll carry my Bible, I'll carry papers, I'll carry my keys, I'll get my cell phone, and I'm usually downstairs two or three times. I'm going, where's my keys? Where's my cell phone? Where's my Bible? And I forget things. But there's something in life today that we cannot forget. We cannot forget to carry with us at all times the sword of God's word. It's got to be in our hearts. It's got to be on our person. It's got to be in us. And in this church, we've got to have his word. So David goes. He's carrying all these other goods. Just imagine whatever life is telling you, you got to carry. I got to carry this responsibility. I got to carry that responsibility. I got to go here. I got to go there. But how many times do you go out your house and get up and do your business and you forgot to take your word with you? How many times do we forget to pray in the morning? How many times before we lay down at night do we forget to say where the Bible says, meditate in my word day and night? What's the word? It's the sword of the living God. It is the Spirit of God. It is his word. But we always find ourselves preoccupied many times. So now he gets to the battle. And I'm just going to fast forward. If I had a VCR, you can just go with me. We're going to fast forward a little bit. I'm not going to preach the whole story of David and Goliath. But something I want to bring to your attention. David started hearing the threats of the lopsided spiritual change. Somebody in the house of God has got to hear what the enemy is saying about God's children and about his kingdom and about his word and say, but wait just a minute. There's still going to be some people of God that will say, I will not let my word of Jesus be disgraced like that. I will not stand for the word of God being removed from his house. I will not allow you to take the blood out of the scriptures. I will not allow you to take the name of Jesus and give him his deity as the Son of God. We've got to stand up right now in this fight that the world has put on us and say, Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he hears this voice, and he starts doing his own talking. He's like, who is that? What's going on? He finds out, and eventually he ends up face to face with Saul. Saul does the most ridiculous thing. It's exactly what the disciples did when Jesus said, sell your garments and go buy a sword. Saul did the same thing. He said, David, you're talking a big game, and you're just a little guy. But I'll tell you what. There's something about you that I'm going to go ahead and let you go out. But before you go, strip off the things that you got and let me put my armor on you. And I'll give you the king's sword. It isn't good enough if you get the king's sword of this world. It doesn't matter if the president of the United States gives you the key to the city. You need the sword of the living God. It doesn't matter if you get favor on every corner in this town. But if you don't have the sword of the Spirit of the living God, it isn't worth trading for. So David said back. He tried to walk. See, David was obedient. He was obedient to Saul. He was obedient to his father. He's obedient again. That's a little message all by itself. But he told Saul, he said, Saul, I can't even walk. Get this stuff off of me. Now remember, he had the 5 gallons of grain. He had the bread and he had the cheese. How many of you believe that he got it there, he delivered it, and he took care of every product that he brought? But you guess what? The scripture says when it came down to fighting time, he said he had a staff and he had a sling in his hand. He took his staff and he went to the brook and he picked up 5 smooth stones and he put it in a pouch. But then the Bible says that he had his sling in his hand. He did not leave home and forget his sling. He did not know he was going to face a giant, a Goliath. He did not know the enemy's voice was going to be that loud against the things of God that day. But he brought his sword. David teaches us, carry the weapon. I know it wasn't a sword, but spiritually it was. See, that sling represents the bear and the lion. That sling represents everything that David was comfortable with. God had skilled him and made him a warrior with a slingshot. And he was able to go into battle that day because he did not forget his sword. Amen. Yeah. Exodus chapter 17. The children of Israel are in a bad spot. They're thirsting in a way that they're losing their strength. Moses has to go before God. What do I do, Lord? What do I do? The people are getting mad and angry. They're not being satisfied in their needs. Listen to what happens in the days before Jesus returns. People are not going to be satisfied in their needs. There's going to be a turning. You might have thought grandma and grandpa was your, you know, all good for you. But then when they don't back off of the word, you might say, well, I'm skipping grandma's house. I don't want to hear them tell me about the word of Jesus. You might have children that are saying, I don't want to go to mom and dad's house because they're going to tell me about the things of God. I don't want to go to the church anymore because they're still preaching about Jesus and I'm learning how to live the world's ways and do my own thing. They've left their weapon. See, you got to teach the children while they're young, carry the sword. Amen. You got to teach the adults to remember, carry your sword. In Exodus chapter 17, the Amalekites are coming to bring a war and a fight to the children of Israel. This kind of thing was not even expected. There wasn't a reason. Sometimes people are wondering, what is this fight about? There is no reason for the enemy to bring his fight against you sometimes, but you still got to carry your sword. Moses said, he's in his old age, and Moses had been through so many battles. See, he had just been told by God to strike the rock and water will come out. And I believe that there wasn't just a little trickle and just a little thing to get the tip of your tongue wet, but I believe there was a gully washer. I believe that there was enough water coming out of that rock that they had to plug it up when it was overflowing so much there was about to flood them on the ground. God is never going to leave you high and dry. God is never going to leave you empty where you can't get your thirst quenched by Him. But He says, carry. What did He tell the disciples? Carry. Go get your garments changed. In other words, it ain't always going to be about breaking bread and leaning on my chest, John. Get your garments changed because now you need to get the war clothes on. And we've gotten too soft many times in the church and said, I can wear comfortable shoes, I can wear these nice clothes, but are we still ready to fight with the sword of the Spirit of the living God that says, devil, back out of my family, back out of the house of God, back out of the ministry, and you will not defy the armies of the living God this day.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Glory to God.
Moses said, Joshua, he said, go, get you some men and go fight. Do you know what the Spirit was showing me? Too many times we want the sword and we'll go grab it when we're in a fight, but we're not ready to grab it when God says, go fight. See, when you go fight, you don't wait for the enemy to show up on your door and bring you down. Oh, the battles of the enemy, they're wearing me out. Yes, they will, but just get the energy of a soldier of the Lord again and say, I'm polishing my sword. Devil, if you come at me today, I'm going to slice you in the name of Jesus. Demons, leave.
Yeah.
Who is still getting the shine on their sword? You know what I believe? I believe when Joshua went around looking for a few men to go into this fight, the Amalekites had no reason. This was an onside attack, a blindside. You weren't looking for it. And here it comes. How many know the enemy's doing it just like that today? You're not looking, but he's coming every direction. And God is saying through this message this morning, keep your sword and carry it with you at all times. And Moses said, Joshua, go find you some men and go fight. I believe Joshua went through the camp and those that had their swords out. getting the sharp edges. I believe he said, you come, you come, you come. You know, I believe he passed up the ones that said, where's your sword? Oh, it's back in the tent under all those blankets. I just laid it down. Nope, you're not going. But Moses said something else. He said, I'm going to the highest hill on the mountain. And I'm taking this rod, and that rod represents the sword of the word and the power. You remember all the power that God used the rod in Moses' hand to do against Pharaoh and all of Egypt? When they had to cross the Red Sea and all these things. Moses is an old man, but he had not forgotten that more than the sword naturally is the sword spiritually. And he said, I have to raise this rod into the heavens, signifying that I know where the victory comes from. I know who is fighting the battle. I know who is giving me strength. This is the place of prayer, church. You might be going through a fight. You might be going through something, but you got to put your hands back up in the air. You got to say, God, I can't do this alone. Moses was saying, listen, if I'll do this and honor God, whatever happens on the battlefield, he'll take care of it. But you got to carry the sword and get down there in the field and do the business that God's called us to do. And Moses had his hands up, and the battle must have been going back and forth, and it was heavy and hard, and Moses' hands were getting weary, and his body was getting tired, and they had to rush in because they noticed something in the battle. Every time the hands came down, every time Moses dropped the rod, then the Amalekites were winning the battle, and the lopsided things of the world were taking effect, and God's people were being destroyed. People are being destroyed today because the enemy is wearing out the hands of the saints, and we're not holding up under God like we once did. So they got wise. We've been praying for God's wisdom. They got wise. They said, we're going to help Moses. We're going to slide a stone under him so he can sit. And then I'm going to have her and Aaron come beside those arms. And we're going to hold these arms up to glory. Let me tell you what you do when it feels like the war is too much. Get your arms propped up to the Lord. Get your knees bent down to Calvary. Yeah. And begin to let him know, God, this battle is never going to be won. You see, it was going back and forth. Back and forth. We need our prayers. And we need the strength of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Moses didn't go anywhere without that rod. The rod represents the Word of God. The rod represents the miracles of God. The rod represents the power of God. Yes. Same thing. He was carrying his sword. Just like David was carrying his slingshot. There was another one. 2 Samuel 23. Shammah. It's a little field, not even big enough to talk about the acres, but it was full, and it had lentils. The Philistines came arranged as an army. They were coming with swords to fight over one field. I'm going to tell you, the enemy is not just bringing down the biggest churches. He's not just bringing down the people that have been elevated where people think that they're the most godly on the earth. But the enemy's coming after little churches and people that are in their homes and individual families and your job and your grandkids and your children and my children. So we've got to learn something about the sword. Shammah represents a warrior. He becomes one of David's mighty men. You know what he did? He put himself right smack in the middle of that field. What that says is, devil, no matter which direction you come, you're not getting a corner over here. You're not getting a corner over there. You're not going to take anything from behind me. You're not going to take anything in front of me. I'm standing right in the center. Was Jesus not the center man on the cross? Was he not the one elevated and lifted up, and the enemy was taking everything that he could from the name of Jesus, but he lost anyway? Shammah He stood there, defended, and fought. And the word that got me was he killed the Philistines. Now listen, church. This word of God is powerful enough to kill spiritual problems in this house.
Yes.
To kill spiritual bondage that's over our families.
Yes.
To kill spiritual sickness and darkness that's looming over people.
Yes.
We've got to get it in our spirit that we can, through the power of God, kill off the enemy spirits.
Amen. Yeah.
Sometimes we get satisfied if we just chase them out. Oh, I gave the devil a black eye. I don't want to give him a black eye. I want to stop him in his tracks.
Amen.
And send him the other way.
Amen.
Think about your family. Think about the crop. Think about the ground. Shammah was doing that. You know, he wasn't just fighting over lentils. He knew that if the enemy could get his little lentil field, he would then go to the house and take his family. If he can get the field and the family, he can take the land. And I'm tired of the enemy thinking that he can get our crop and then move on to our families and then take over the land. It's time for the church to say, I know where my sword's at and I'm ready to take it. I know where the word of God is in my life and I'm ready to carry it again. I know how powerful it's been when I had the bear that I had to face, when I had the lion that I had to face. It was your sword that got you through. God always gives us the sword. He told the disciples, something's changing. The spiritual world is upside down right now. But God has still given us a sword to use. It's quicker, it's sharper, and it's more powerful than anything the enemy could ever do. But we must use this sword.
Amen.
Because we can't stand any other way. I'm closing. You can put a little music on, please. Think about this. I want to tell you how evil the enemy is. John chapter 19. Jesus is on the cross. The two thieves are on the cross beside him. Now there was a religious law that said they had to have the men off the cross before sunset. It was the day of preparation. The Sabbath day was coming next. And so the most crucial and last thing that they did to those criminals on the cross was they would take some kind of a hammer, I'd imagine it'd be something like a sledgehammer, and they would go to the individuals and they would break their legs. That would be the final blow that would cause too much pressure on their chest. They couldn't hold themselves up and it would cause death to come quick. But you remember in Scripture, when they got to Jesus, Jesus had already died. Scripture had said they wouldn't break his legs. Not a bone would be broken. That represents the wholeness of God. There will never be an attack to break God. Never. There's never going to be anything greater than God. There's no other gods except him. There's no greater power except him. But here's the enemy. The only reason why they were there to break the legs was to speed up the death. And the soldier that came by, there's always one. You've seen those westerns where the guy's already dead, but there's always one in the bunch that says, even though he's dead, I got to put one more bullet in him. The devil thought he had won a great victory with Jesus being crucified on the cross. And here's this one soldier that could not pass by Jesus. He was told, you can't break his legs. And I believe he just went by and turned probably back around, drew his sword and said, but I can thrust his side. He was already dead. No reason for that. Other than the fact that you could know that Jesus was flesh. It proved that he came to earth as a man. The only part of prophecy is that they couldn't break his legs. But the enemy had his sword drawn. And it was just like saying, I got you, Jesus, one more time while you're down. I'm going to stick you one more time. You ever been down? I mean, you're down already, and here comes the enemy. I'm going to stick you one more time. But see, the story goes on about Easter coming up, the resurrection. That side that was pierced, There's just a hole there. And the last blow that the enemy tried to give Jesus was still not stronger than the resurrection of life. People right now, spiritually, many have already been down, and it feels like you've been stuck with that last sword. But be of good courage because of the resurrection and the life. Your battles may be very hard right now, but I want to encourage you this morning. Number one, get your sword again. No battle will ever be won without the Word of God. Never. Never be won. But even when you're down and it seems like the enemy's sticking in one more time, we've got resurrection. I want to say this. Some people have been healed of cancer and diseases, and that battle is won for a season. And then we go on and we find out that some die. But I want to tell you, all that is the enemy taking one more stab. But you know what? They're in glory. And just like Jesus resurrected out of the grave, the body is not everything to us. You may have to fight your way past cancer in the Lord Jesus, and I believe in healing. I believe many people in this congregation have been healed of God. But I'm going to tell you, the enemy keeps coming back. And he's going to try to put it back. And he's going to try to stick the sword in your side again. But even if death should take us out here, never let your sword be found away from you, because you'll carry it all the way to heaven. Let's stand this morning. I'm already in the altar. I'm just going to ask real quick, if you want to join me in a closing prayer that says, God, I need my sword. All I want's my sword this morning. The disciples had misunderstood what Jesus was saying. He was just telling them, hey, spiritual times are changing. You got to be on the defense. You got to understand what's going on. Do you really understand what's going on in the world spiritually today? If you do, you need your sword. The Bible is more important today than ever before. I'm asking you to come and stand with me in a closing prayer that says, God, sharpen this sword in my spirit. Let me have that sword ready. Whether I'm carrying goods and I don't know what's coming, whether it's a surprise attack like the Amalekites, or whether it's just the enemy trying to get one more punch in my gut before I go home to heaven. Come stand and just say, God, I got to have a sword again. Yes, sharpen up every word. Get back in the scriptures. Pray like you believe the word of God. I'm just going to start praying. You can still come. Father, we release together as soldiers of Calvary, defenders of the word of God, not defenders of our name, not defenders of our church, not arguments about who's right, who's wrong, not over doctrine, but we are carrying swords, the spiritual sword of the living God. We take it up this morning and we say, God, if there's a battle, and we know there's battles, over our loved ones, over our church, over our families, God, we got to use them. Lord, prepare us again. Bring us back to the soldiers that carry the cross. Never lay it down again. Spiritually, the world has changed. It's upside down. They're telling the wrong message. They're believing the lies. But this word of God is going to be quick. It's going to be powerful. And it's going to be sharper than any two-edged sword. It will bring us back to the truth. It will help us to be separated from soulless natural life and to live by the Spirit of the living God, who discerns every thought and intent of our heart. Help us, Lord. We give you praise. We started the service giving the Lord a hand clap of praise. If you're willing to carry the sword of God's word, if you love him with all your heart, as we leave this morning, let's give him another hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. God bless you. If you can, would you come tonight? Brother Alex is going to be ministering the Word of God. I'd like to see as many as could come back. Let the Holy Spirit minister to us. God bless you. You're dismissed.